It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Reeves throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. I am Bill Enright, joined by Anthony Grace, and our great producer, Kevin Collins, is keeping us on the air and helping us sound good for the next 2 hours, where we are taking your phone calls at 855-728-7500 and email us webradio at patriots.com. Gentlemen, what a weekend of NFL action. We had 8 teams, 4 great games over 2 days. I had an awesome time watching the NFL divisional round. How about you, Ant?
What do we say on Thursday's show, Bill? Best weekend of sports of the year. And yep, it basically lived up to the hype. Outside of that Seattle-Carolina game, every single game came down to the wire, to that last possession.
Yeah, I think the action that we got this weekend, and we'll get into our favorite games and what which games that we liked, and we'll rank all four of the results. But I do think that each of the games really gave us each of them gave us almost something a little different. Like the Patriots and Ravens, it gave us an exhilarating game back and forth. Patriots were down by 14 twice. The Seahawks and Panthers gave us a reason to believe why the Seahawks have a very good chance of repeating. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
So the Packers-Cowboys gave us a look at an NFL rule that may be changed in the offseason. Colts and the Broncos gave us something, a bit of a passing of the torch, if you will. So I do think each game was great, and each game offered something a little different in terms of being a fan of the NFL.
I totally agree. We did. We saw a lot of different things. Maybe, let's say, for example, that the New England-Baltimore game. We weren't, not that we weren't expecting offense, but we were expecting points like that in the Denver-Indianapolis game. So
right,
we saw things we were expecting, but maybe in a few places we weren't expecting to see them. I mean, that Colts defense came to play. They
sure
really did. And the last couple of their 2 playoff games this year, that Colts defense is playing a lot different, and they're hungry. And I like to see that. I think they're going to give New England one of the better games that they're going to see as far as the Colts-Patriots. Usually the Patriots have the Colts in the playoffs, especially when they're at home at Foxborough. But this year, I think Andrew Luck's going to bring a different team in there.
Such a great show we have planned for today. Some of our topics that we'll go over. The Dez Bryant-Calvin Johnson rule, of course. Do you think the NFL will change this in the offseason? We'll touch on that in a bit. We'll go over the fantasy chumps and champs from the divisional playoffs. We'll recap the DraftKings $1 Million Tournament. A new millionaire was crowned this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a familiar name if you're a daily fantasy player. This guy actually won $700,000 in week 17, and just, you know, less than 2 weeks later ends up winning $1 million this past weekend. So we'll take a look at his roster. Plus, very special guest coming up in about 20 minutes here on the show, my former co-host and the authority when it comes to college fantasy football, Todd DeVries, is going to join us a little bit to talk about that college football championship. Kevin, how can he hit the button, the boom button on our guy, Todd?
I love Todd.
He's
going to
talk about
him.
Great college football championship less than 24 hours ago with Oregon and Ohio State. Plus, he'll tell us some of the incoming rookies to keep an eye on for the upcoming NFL Combine, which is less than a month away. Can't believe that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
But I think some of the topics for today that we want to hear from the fans are, what was your favorite moment from the NFL divisional game? Was it, you know, the Julian Edelman touchdown pass to Danny Amendola, phenomenal play? Was
great.
It seeing Dez Bryant maybe cry like a baby on the sidelines? Did you enjoy that? Or did you like watching Cam Chancellor jump over the Panthers' field goal unit, not once, but twice on back-to-back plays? Yeah. So give us a call. Let us know what your favorite moment was from the NFL divisional action. 855-728-7500. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Anthony, I'll start with you. What was your favorite moment this weekend?
Man, I think watching the New England-Baltimore game, that first game to kick off, you see Baltimore go up by 14, not once, but twice.
Yep.
Patriots have 2 big comebacks. When Baltimore kicked that field goal to go up 31-28, I really thought that's not going to be a good thing. It's been a touchdown game. Both teams were just driving back and forth. So I loved the way that game ended. New England scored. Baltimore had a chance to win that game at the end. Joe Flacco just threw an interception there. Not the best throw, obviously, when you go back and watch it. When they show that angle from behind him in that end zone, I mean, you can see that safety come over before he let that ball go. So I don't know if he got flustered, but just watching that game, the back and forth, I think that was just the most fun game that we saw this weekend.
The Edelman to Amendola play was
that was great.
It was one of those – very rare do I actually say, oh, shoot, that was sick.
Right.
And as it was happening, I was like, oh, my God, like, this is going to work. Because you know Edelman's a quarterback from college.
Yep.
You know that the Ravens – or, excuse me, you know the Patriots – haven't ran a trick play, I would say, all year, maybe in a couple of years. It's different from a flea flicker. Like, the Colts ran a flea flicker.
Yes,
it handed
did.
Off to Dan Heron. Heron pitched it back to Andrew Luck. This was totally different, man. This was a screen to Julian Edelman and then, a wide receiver pass down the sidelines for a touchdown. Amendola was wide open. So, like I said, very rare will I ever see a play in the NFL and I actually stand up and say, oh wow. And that was one of those plays. It was awesome.
And something like that goes to show why Bill Belichick is the best coach in this league still. Like you said, he rarely runs a trick play. He'll throw it in there, once a year, maybe every other year. But a lot of these coaches nowadays are trying trick plays. You'll see him, once a week, twice a week from different teams. And it's nice to see that Bill Belichick did it when it mattered. He came out swinging in the playoffs. He caught them completely off guard, and that's the beauty of running a trick play, and that's why Bill Belichick is just one of the best of all time.
Want to get our perspective from our producer, Kevin. I know you were on the sidelines for this game. Amazing comeback win for the Patriots. I know it was cold. Was that play ran on your sideline?
It was.
So what were you thinking when you saw not only Edelman cock back and throw the ball, but what were you thinking when you saw Amendola wide open?
Well, I knew it was coming when the original pass from Brady was backwards, because right. When the Patriots throw those bubble screens, it's very, very rarely backwards,
right?
Unless there's the intention for that player to throw the ball again. And the reason for that being is if the ball is backwards and it's incomplete, it's obviously a live ball. So you want to eliminate that risk if you're just throwing a simple screen. So as soon as I saw that Edelman was like 2 yards behind Brady, I knew that my radar popped up, something was up. And then I looked up, and I was just absolutely, aghast at how wide open Amendola was. I couldn't believe it. I was just praying. Yeah. I was just praying that he didn't fall down.
Yeah, I mean that was just. It was such a kind of like, oh my God! Not only is it, it was for a touchdown. Sometimes, it's a 30, 40-yard game. He was wide open, no one near him, mm-hmm. and you can just instantly look at that play and say, "Wow, this is going to work."
You're just praying that he doesn't. Once he caught it, I was, So many times, Bill, you see plays in this league where the guy looks like he's going to score, and he'll even be down at the Dez Bryant half-yard line if that play had stood, And then you see the offensive team just struggle to get in the end zone.
Right.
So I was just praying that as he started to really turn it on to run away from the secondary, that the turf monster didn't come up and bite him.
That was at 4 minutes and 20 seconds in the third quarter. The Patriots scored about 2 minutes before that play. So they were down seven, trailing seven. That was the play that tied the game for the Pats. And really, even with that Gronk touchdown, you felt the momentum swinging back toward the Patriots.
Sure did. Yeah, and you could see that whole drive, Bill, that culminated in the Gronk touchdown. Just the frustration kind of boiling over on the Ravens sideline with the substitution confusion.
Yep.
And they had too many men on a play. Mm-hmm. And then, the untimely, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Harbaugh, which I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but the Patriots had first and goal at the 10, which is the hardest, the longest you can go when you have first and goal.
Right.
And to give them half of that and first and goal from the 5 is a big deal.
Big. Yeah, sure.
So that was kind of, I like Jim Harbaugh a lot as a coach. I respect him. I think he's a really good coach. But to kind of put your team in that position where, you're giving Tom Brady first and goal from the 5 is not – he kind of lost his cool there.
And yeah, he certainly did.
He was yelling at the Patriot bench from across the field, yelling at Josh McDaniels, our offensive coordinator. That drive, Bill, I think you hit the nail on the head. As cool as the throwback pass was, and as much of a dagger as it was, you know, to kind of climb out of that 14-point hole in the third quarter, that drive before that made it 28-21 is really when you saw the Ravens start to crack and lose their cool.
Right. And, the Edelman to Amendola trick play, that was like the culmination of the previous drive, which really took the wind out of the
Ravens.
And even
more focusing on the Ravens coaching staff to absolutely have this brain fart of, you know, now the game's tied. You get a couple breaks where, you know, Flacco throws a pick to McCourty and the Patriot offense doesn't capitalize on it. And then Flacco gets strip sacked and potentially, you know, the Patriots have first and goal at the 3, and then that thing comes back because of a penalty in the secondary.
Yep.
So they got a couple breaks and they start moving the ball down the field, predominantly running the ball, and their offensive line is dominating the line of scrimmage. And they get down to the 10-yard line or inside the 10, like I think they had first and goal from the 9 on this drive. And they decide, oh, we're going to start throwing it now. Now that we've run it 70 yards down the field, we're going to start throwing it. You know, they couple incomplete passes, boom, they settle for a field goal. You know, and it's just like you're wondering, like, what is Gary Kubiak thinking? Uh-huh. You know, Forsett, you know, is he dominating the game? No, but their offensive line sure as heck was. And when you were watching, you could tell on TV, from rewatching the game, I was wondering on the sideline, I was like, does this look as bad on TV as it does in person, where the Ravens' offensive line literally was getting 3 or 4 yards downfield before a Patriot had a chance to contact the running backs every single carry, no matter who it was? Could have been Forsett, Pierce, Taliaferro, whatever, whoever it was. And they were just dominating to the point where, you know, it would look like, Bill, from at a distance, Forsett, oh, he just ran into the line of scrimmage and fell down. But you realize the line of scrimmage had been moved 5 yards down the field.
Right.
And you could definitely, you know, it translated to television how badly the Patriots defense was getting dominated on that drive. And then just to completely go away with what got you down there in the first place and start, all right, we're going to try to force the ball in the end zone and throw it. That was a real head scratcher to me. And in a game that had, what, 8 touchdowns to that point, 28-28, 4 touchdowns apiece, all of a sudden you settle for a 3, and it's like you don't hold serve, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll certainly get into more of an in-depth recap of that game a little bit later in the show, but I did just want to touch on that Edelman-Amendola play, only because it was so
freaking, you know, freak. Awesome. And Brady said it right, Bill. They got the exact look they wanted. Baltimore came up. Yep. They felt like momentum is not on our side. We just gave up a touchdown. Our offense went 3 and out. You know, the Patriots have great field position in midfield. We need to step up and make a stand and get the ball back to our offense.
Yeah.
And they started getting, you know, they got really aggressive and they brought the house. And, you know, they came up to try to tackle Edelman. And then it was so funny to watch their, you know, the safety just be like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And just start kind of, he turned his head and started like giving it the token jog down the field in case he fell down so he could go. But you knew, like, he had no intention on catching that guy because he had a 30-yard head start.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. If you have a favorite moment from the NFL Divisional Playoffs, give us a call, 855-728-7500. You can also email in webradio@patriots.com. We'll get into more of those moments a little bit later in the show. Let's hit some of the latest news, Anthony. It's really just involving coaches this time of year, which is typical for the NFL. If it's not involving the four teams that are in the AFC and NFC Championship, it's mostly going to be news about coaches, maybe some free agent talk. Right now, the latest coaching news, John Fox and the Denver Broncos mutually parted ways. Now, whether or not it was mutual decision, we'll never know because that's what the team reported to the media. But I'll tell you what, out of all the coaching changes that we had this offseason, this was by far the one that was most shocking to me.
Yeah, something we definitely did not see coming. And like you said, they basically said on all the outlets that they parted ways. So we'll never really know what happened. I mean, you see Elway saying that John Fox and him kind of butted heads on to, you know, how to move up in the world and get to that next level and win another Super Bowl, basically. So maybe it was time for a split, who knows, but obviously, you know, John Fox had a great run there, had great players, Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas. Sure. I mean, he had a outstanding offense, built a nice defense this year after they lost to Seattle in the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but obviously John Fox is going to be in demand. They said he was already, I believe, going to Chicago for an interview. So
yeah, I heard that same thing.
That could be interesting. It's another offense. You got a couple of great pieces: Martellus Bennett, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey. So you, Matt Forte, a lot of nice pieces there. If maybe he can make something out of Jay Cutler, I mean, someone potentially could do it. So why not give John Fox a shot?
John Fox certainly more defensive-minded in terms of head coaches. So the Bears' defense was, I think, was one of the major problems this year. Their offense still needs a lot of work, but like you said, a lot of the places are already in place.
Exactly, and obviously John Fox better at building a defense than an offense, and that's what they need to do in the draft and through free agency is build up that defense in Chicago. So if they get that defense going back in the right direction, playing Chicago Bear football like we were used to seeing, you know, up to the last 2-3 years, that's going to be another scary team in that NFC North.
Adam Schefter of ESPN reported that Peyton Manning had a torn quad since about mid-December. Do you think this is just an excuse for how Peyton has played, certainly in the AFC divisional matchup versus the Colts, but also really the last 4 or 5 games, the Broncos offense just was not the same.
It really wasn't, and I don't know what to make of it. I mean, it's an excuse in some way, even if it's true. They wouldn't have not put it out here at this point in time, not to kind of say to their fans, maybe this is why things didn't go our way. So it's an excuse in a way. Is it true? Probably. I don't think they would go out there and lie about it. But Peyton Manning, just the last 2-3 years, has not looked like the Peyton Manning of Indianapolis coming down the stretch. And you could tell as the playoffs progress, he just seems to be more and more tired. Age is catching up with him. I mean, he's a great player. He's fun to watch. But this season was the best example, watching where he went from the first quarter, half of the season, to as he just slowly started to fade, and this last playoff game just showed it. Everything about it didn't look the same. His arm strength just didn't look the same to me. So Peyton Manning is definitely on his way out, and who knows, maybe we saw the last of him we'll ever see in an NFL uniform.
Yes, I think the coaching change, I think that's certainly going to have an impact. Who knows, maybe he doesn't want to learn an entire new offense. Now, of course, if their offensive coordinator Adam Gase stays with the Broncos, it won't really be a coaching change per se.
Correct.
But it's interesting. Right now, actually, you can check out the lines for who's going to be the next head coach of the Broncos. And the one with the most likely in terms of the Vegas odds is Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, I heard rumors about that. They said the other day he was staying in Baltimore, and then this opened up, and there's a former player for the Broncos, former coach for the Broncos. So seeing Gary Kubiak going back there, I don't think that would really shock too many people. He's an offensive-minded guy, and someone like that I could potentially see Peyton Manning coming back with. So we're going to have to see what happens. But again, Adam Gase, their offensive coordinator, another guy I can see staying there, and if he stays, then Peyton Manning's already comfortable with him, so I think that'd be the biggest plus if they're trying to keep Peyton Manning on for another year or so.
Other news around the NFL, Rex Ryan, former head coach of the New York Jets, stays in the AFC East. That's right, the Patriots will have to face Sexy Rexy twice a year. He's now the Buffalo Bills head coach.
Yeah, moving to division, not too much. Knows Miami, knows New England, obviously knows the Jets. He was there, so I'm not sure what this move is going to do in the division. I don't think there's going to be much of a change, a shakeup. But the fact that Jim Schwartz is gone as defensive coordinator, that's kind of big. The Bills' defense looked very good this year. They were one of the best defenses in the NFL with what Jim Schwartz brought to the table. So the pieces are still there. They're going to get Kiko Alonso back next year, which is a huge piece for Buffalo. He played out of his mind as a rookie. So Rex Ryan is going to be innovative, but I know Jim Schwartz leaving. I'm not sure how that affects them, but like I said, Rex Ryan, he knows that division already. Not too much is going to change there.
Head coach, team still having the need for a head coaching hire. Vacancies at the head coaching position for the following teams: New York Jets, Atlanta Falcons, Oakland Raiders, Denver Broncos, San Francisco 49ers, and the Chicago Bears. I have a feeling by the end of the week, maybe by this time on Thursday when we're doing our AFC and NFC Championship preview show, we'll have at least one or two hires for these head coaching spots. There's a lot of interviews this week.
Yeah, definitely a lot of interviews. But we got to see a couple of these positions fill up. I know, you know, Josh McDaniel, Dan Quinn. There's a couple of guys that are still in high demand in the playoffs right now. So a couple of these positions are going to be filled, obviously, after the Super Bowl. But we should see at least one, if not two, like you said, by Thursday, I hope.
We are just getting started here on Patriots.com Radio. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs. We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, the Ohio State Buckeyes pulled off an upset over the Oregon Ducks in the College Football National Championship. Oh, yeah, college football. Talking about it with Todd DeVries from collegefootballgeek.com coming up right after these words.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
I need you. I'm a mess without you. I miss you so damn much. I miss being with you. I miss being near you. I miss your laugh. I miss your scent. I miss your musk. When this all gets sorted out, I think you and me should get an apartment together.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. A little Anchorman sound clip there from our producer, Kevin Collins. And that's because my former co-host on the show is joining us now. Todd DeVries is my partner at Football Nation, former co-host of this show. If you listened for the last 2 years, you certainly remember Todd. He also runs the Fantasy Football Champs brother site, collegefootballgeek.com, when it comes to college fantasy football. No one does it better than my man Todd. And for all you DraftKings players out there, Todd does an excellent job with daily fantasy college football as well. Todd, how's it going, man? How was your season?
Getting back here on my on an island that I bought after retiring from the show. You know, Kevin, you know, being on Kevin's payroll has its benefits, you know, and just been kicking back on my beach here and, you know, watching college football all season. It's been beautiful.
We just had the final college football game of the year 24 hours ago as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com. Let's talk about this championship game. Todd, you and I went back and forth on a few text messages over the weekend. You correctly predicted Ohio State would pull off the upset over Oregon, but what was it about their game plan? What did you see from the Buckeyes that left the Ducks in the dust?
You know, it's kind of like in the NFL when you get that hot team. You know, you get hot at the right time in December and you just roll through the playoffs, even as a wild card. That's what I saw in the Buckeyes, Bill. I mean, they just got red hot. After squeaking by Penn State, actually, midway through the season, Penn State took them to double overtime. Really could have easily lost that game. Since that day, the Buckeyes have destroyed everyone. Now, you can say the Big Ten was weaker, and it probably was in some of these other conferences. But, I mean, Bill, they did it with their second and third string quarterback, you know.
Yeah.
And I just thought they were a more complete team than Oregon. I thought that Oregon would have trouble if they got behind. That offense is not designed to come from behind. That offense is the Oregon offense, as much as we love it. In the fantasy world, it dazzles when they're ahead, when they
right.
can use the deception. And when you're down 14 points, you know, there's the deception of the run is gone, and they become one-dimensional. I also was pretty concerned about the wide receiver issues that Oregon had. They had a couple injuries, and the guy that got suspended right before the game, that was huge as well last night.
You mentioned Ohio State getting hot at the right time. Is it safe to assume that you think the first-ever college football playoff tournament worked out well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I mean, I think that people that, you know, follow TCU aren't too happy with how it all played out, right?
Right.
If I were to make any changes to it, to the process, I would eliminate the ridiculous weekly talk show when they would release the weekly rankings. They mean nothing, obviously.
Right.
If you remember, TCU at the end of the year was elevated up into the number three spot 1 week before the final ranking. And then, mysteriously, they dropped from 3 to 6 the next week, even though they won by 60 points.
Yeah.
So I think they were trying to be transparent, which is, on paper, a good idea. But being that transparent turned out to backfire because they looked kind of silly in the way that they picked the Final Four.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
Definitely. Hey, Todd, this is Anthony. How you doing, man?
Doing well.
Good. So, all right, let's go to the star, the biggest guy playing in the championship game last night. That's Marcus Mariota of Oregon. Heisman Trophy winner, looked great this year. Great career with Oregon overall. Is he the number one quarterback this year?
That's a great question. I really think he's a system quarterback, guys. I mean,
yeah.
And I think if he goes to the right system, and quite frankly, there aren't too many coaches in the NFL right now that run that type of system. If he goes to the right system, I think he'll be okay. But if he gets shoehorned into one of these other teams at the top of the draft, I think he could really be a bust.
Right.
I hate to say it. I mean, I love Marcus Mariota as a college quarterback, but, you know, is the trend over, guys? I mean, RG3, Kaepernick, Jake Locker, you know, these dual threats in college, first-round picks or high second-round picks, they aren't really panning out right now. And that works against Mariota.
It does.
So who are the other options, obviously, is the next question. And I'm not in love with this quarterback class at all. I mean, Jameis Winston has all the physical attributes that you're looking for in a QB, but he's a knucklehead.
He has
so many off-the-field issues. It's a huge red flag. It's a huge concern. You know, those are the top two names you're going to hear over and over again for the next 90 days. Brett Hundley from UCLA is an interesting prospect, another big guy, a little bit of a dual threat as well, but more, you know, more of a Donovan McNabb type, you know.
Yeah.
And then maybe Bryce Petty from Baylor, another system guy, but in the right fit in the third, fourth round type of situation, Bryce Petty could be another guy to watch.
Right. Now, being said with Mariota, and you brought up a point I wanted to say, RG3 and guys like this where you're giving up a king's ransom to get to him, being outside of Philadelphia, all I hear about is, can the Eagles get to Marcus Mariota to bring him with Chip Kelly? He's the guy that fits his system. If the Eagles have Marcus Mariota, they can make a run at the Super Bowl. So let's just say the Eagles find a way to get there, and he gets in there. Can Chip Kelly turn someone like Marcus Mariota, a running quarterback, into a Super Bowl champion? Because I don't know if it can be done, even with Chip Kelly.
I don't think it is much of a no-brainer as the, you know, as you're hearing, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think he'd be it is the best fit for him, no doubt. But is he a Super Bowl type quarterback? I don't know. I mean, I do think he would do nice things in Chip's offense, obviously. I mean, look what Chip did this year with the Eagles. I believe they set a franchise record in total points for the season. And look who their quarterbacks were this season. You know,
the Sanchez.
So, I mean, you know, Chip knows what to do with an offense. So it'll be interesting to see. But I don't think he's a no-brainer. You know, I just don't. And I think that if you are an Eagles fan, you might be kind of happy that he had a subpar game last night. And you might be rooting for him to, you know, not exactly blow up at the combine. You know, maybe he can slip a little bit. We'll see.
Todd, it's always great picking your brain in the NFL offseason because you know so much about these incoming rookies. You've been watching them since they were freshmen in college. You know what kind of style they they fit into, what kind of player they are, if they're going to cause any problems off the field. You've always helped me immensely, especially in my dynasty leagues, and it always seems I have the best breakout rookies on my roster a lot because of what you tell me in the offseason. So the NFL Combine is about a month away. Who are some of the incoming rookies we need to keep an eye on for that week?
All right. Well, you know, I'm going to stick away from some of the bigger names. Let's ignore the quarterbacks. We just talked about them.
Okay.
And in fantasy football, rookie quarterbacks seldomly, you know, shine anyway. Okay?
Correct.
Now let's ignore the tight ends because this is a horrendous tight end class.
So let's go tight ends.
The running backs and the wide receivers. There are so many running backs that I love in this draft. It's really going to come down to the fit, you know.
Right.
If you get drafted by a team with a running back need, that's a good thing. If you go somewhere, you know, if you go to the Oakland Raiders, it might not be so much of a good thing, even in fantasy.
Right.
The guy that I really like, and it's not a huge name, is Jay Ajayi, okay, from Boise State. Remember Doug Martin at Boise State and what he did?
Yes.
The muscle hamster. And he had a kind of a one-and-done fantasy career, you know, unless he can rebound after the injuries. But his predecessor, or his successor, Jay Ajayi, is a dual-threat type of running back. But he's a big guy, Bill. He's 6 foot, 220 pounds, and he can catch the ball as well as run it. I like him an awful lot. Very versatile. You know, the other big names you're going to hear about, of course, are Duke Johnson from Miami. He's a smaller guy, 5'9", but built fast, shifty. Those are a couple kind of second, third-round type running backs, at least right now, that's where they're projected to be, that you need to keep an eye on. Some of the big names, Melvin Gordon, of course, Bill, Todd Gurley from Georgia, if he can recover from his injury.
Yeah.
A couple of the big names that will probably go one and two in the running back position. Wide receiver-wise, I always like to find the, if I can, the wide receivers from the smaller schools that always seems to be intriguing to me, like T.Y. Hilton, Bill. Remember how high I was on him coming out?
That's what I was just going to give the example of. For the rest of their career, I will have Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton, probably the best combination quarterback-wide receiver duo in the next maybe 10 years, all thanks to you, my man. That's my dynasty team.
You took advantage of that, right, that advice?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, the guy I loved last year, depending on the fit, was Devontae. You know, my man Devontae that went to Green Bay, out of Fresno State. And while he had only a couple of big games, he was gigantic over the weekend. I think that it'll be interesting to see what the Packers do with Cobb moving forward, knowing that they've got a young guy in the mix.
Yeah, that's a great point.
The wide receivers, it's kind of top-heavy. Amari Cooper, Bill, and Ant, he's the next to Julio Jones. He's the next A.J. Green. He's going to get picked in the top 10, a wide receiver from Alabama. He can do it all. He might not have the ridiculous three-finger catch ability of Odell Beckham, but he's everything else. He's NFL ready. He'll fit right in wherever he goes and do good things, kind of like Sammy Watkins also this year with the Bills. I like Devontae Parker, big wide receiver out of Louisville. 6'3", 210. He was injured half the year, but when he came back late in the season, he came on strong and had a nice finish to the season. The other guy that, Bill, I think you and I have talked about years ago, was the number one recruit in the nation who chose Missouri. His name is Doriel Green Beckham.
Oh, I remember him.
6'5", 225 pounds. He is Calvin Johnson reincarnated. However, he had a lot of off-the-field issues. Wound up leaving Missouri, went to Oklahoma, never played at Oklahoma, decided, ah, the hell with it, I'm just going to go pro.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at the mock drafts and whatnot, because of his physicality, he's kind of a super freak. Keep an eye on him as a kind of a risky draft pick in that third, fourth round range.
Nice.
Nice, yeah, definitely. So just talking about the wide receivers coming into 2015, that brings us back to last year, 2014. The rookie class we saw this year in the NFL, obviously exceptional, especially the wide receiver position. A lot of special talent, a lot of guys that are going to be around for a while and do some big things in the NFL. So, Todd, who out of all the rookies from 2014, who's your candidate for the rookie of the year this year in the NFL?
Well, I tell you what, Odell Beckham played the entire season. He's definitely the guy.
Yep.
And he's a special talent, and I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't see that coming at all. Watching him at LSU, LSU has so many talented athletes, and they have a very, very boring vanilla offense. Mm-hmm. He didn't exactly light it up, in my opinion, at least on the fantasy level, college fantasy football level. Well, Beckham was just pretty ordinary. So for him to get drafted where he did by the Giants and then, I mean, do some of the things that he did on the field is just ridiculous. I think I'd give him my vote even though he didn't play the whole season.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that. I think that makes it even more exceptional what he did, just playing 12 games instead of an entire season. And like you said, on a team that not a stud at quarterback, not a lot of help around him to really free him up, he made a lot of those plays on his own.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Devontae Adams is a guy, not for rookie of the year, but he's a guy in this dynasty league that you want to be able to snag. If he becomes the number two option for Aaron Rodgers in the future years, that's, you know, major fantasy production there. Kelvin Benjamin from the old Florida State player who teamed up with E.J. Manuel back in the day, and he was catching ridiculous touchdowns.
Yeah.
His touchdown ratio in college was ridiculous. So to see him come in and do what he did with Cam Newton, perfect fit fantasy-wise because he had the opportunity. Steve Smith was gone. We were big on him landing in Carolina, and he panned out as well. So he'd also be in the mix for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Todd DeVries, I want to thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure talking NFL or college football with you. And, of course, you can follow Todd on Twitter at CFFGeek. And you check out collegefootballgeek.com for some great daily fantasy advice when it comes to college football. Todd, thanks for all the time and thanks for all the help, man.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Take it easy.
That was Todd DeVries, my partner over at Football Nation. He runs collegefootballgeek.com. He always does great analysis for me and gives me a lot of help when I'm doing my research for the NFL Combine, when I'm doing my research for the NFL Draft. It's great to, you know, almost really tackle it together because, you know, we bring a little bit of expertise. He brings his college football expertise. I bring my NFL. And he's a big NFL fan, don't get me wrong. But
oh, yeah.
He certainly knows, oh, well, you know, the Packers, they could really use a wide receiver three. Oh, they got Devontae Adams. Bill, he's going to be great. Or, you know, the Panthers, when they took Kelvin Benjamin number one overall. I said, Todd, you know, what do you think? Everyone says he's a little bit raw. He said, no, he's so athletic. He's so big that he'll be a great fit for Cam Newton. Even when the Bengals drafted Jeremy Hill, I said, you know, they just drafted Geo last year. Do you think Hill will still have a role? He goes, no, he's a do-it-all kind of back, certainly can take on, at the time it was a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, certainly can take on that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis type role in the Bengals rushing attack, which is what he did. So it's always great to pick Todd's brain because he's so knowledgeable when it comes to these incoming rookies.
He knows so much about college football. It's really unreal. So yeah, obviously love talking to him. This is a perfect time of year for him. This is where the regular season is our bread and butter for fantasy. I mean, this is probably when he's really gearing up, right after the championship, getting ready for that, the combine, the NFL draft. This is his season now, so he's probably loving life.
Yeah, it is. Even when, you know, college football technically now over with Ohio State beating Oregon, when any kind of football, whether it's college or football or NFL, there's always news. There's always something happening.
Oh,
that's why it's not just like a one season, a 6 month kind of thing. It's all year round.
Yeah, nowadays that's exactly what it is. You got NFL Network on TV 24/7. All they talk about is NFL football. And if they could fill time in those, like I said, 6 months when we're not actually watching the games. There's always something going on all the time.
Now, Todd brought up a player, Doriel Green Beckham, right? The wide receiver was from Missouri. Now he's on Oklahoma.
Yes.
When Todd and I used to host a radio show together on Sirius, on satellite radio, and Green Beckham didn't know where he was going to sign yet. Okay. And the news was coming out when the Patriots were playing the Giants in the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, right?
Okay.
I was at NFL Media Day. I believe Green Beckham is from Arkansas. And the speculation was that he was going to sign with the Razorbacks. His letter of intent was going to go to the Razorbacks, which is where Ryan Mallett went to school. Mallett, of course, at the time was the Patriots' backup. I don't know if it was his rookie year or his second year in the NFL. I think it was his rookie year. And the main players all have a booth at Media Day. Tom
right.
Brady has a booth. You know, he's sitting down. Coach Belichick has a sitting down booth next to him. All the main players had a booth. The backups, like Ryan Mallett, just walk around the open field. So if you have a reporter, you have a question for him, you just walk right up to him. No one was even talking to Ryan Mallett at the time. Go up to him. I say, hey, I introduce myself. He was, if arrogant times 10,
wow.
Cocky times 10, just a total, I couldn't believe, I always knew that the Patriots would end up getting rid of him before they would ever give him the opportunity to start because he just did not fit into that quote Patriot way type of embodiment. So I asked him, I said, Mr. Mallett, what do you think about the wide receiver prospect of your alma mater possibly coming to Arkansas? You know, man, I'm not going to say nothing about no Doriel Green Beckham, man. You know, I ain't trying to go there or nothing like that. I'm like, so we are in Indianapolis, and I'd appreciate it if you can speak a little bit more clearly. No, man, you know, I'm trying to say that I'm not trying to go to the boy of Green Beckham, y'all. You know, he cut Arkansas. I can't say nothing about that, dog. I'm like, okay, this is going great. So I knew that that was going to be a worthless piece of tape because you couldn't understand what the guy was saying between his accent and between his lack of a grip on the English language. I really didn't get anything out of him. And Dorial Green-Beckham ended up signing with Missouri anyway. Didn't even sign with Arkansas.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But that's my Ryan Mallett story. I knew within 3 minutes of him of me talking with him that he wouldn't last with the Patriots. Now, he lasted actually a lot longer than I expected. But, of course, we know this offseason he – or not even in the offseason. During the season, we know that he did end up getting traded to the Texans.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with him down there. Maybe use him as a starter. I don't know. They need some quarterback help down there, and maybe he's the answer, maybe not. But that's a quest they're going to go on this offseason.
Nah, dog. You know, I'm not trying to say nothing about no Goyal Green Beckham, yo. Oh, okay. All right. No problem.
Why
yeah,
are
I'm
you
not trying to get into that, yo. Oh, all right. I got you. So what do you think about riding the bench behind Tom Brady? That's what I should have followed him up with.
Right.
Okay, so what do you think about holding that clipboard for the Super Bowl this weekend? How do you feel about possibly getting a Super Bowl ring despite not ever stepping on the field? That's what I should have followed up with.
He probably, yeah, nah, dog, I got one, though. You know, I'm going to take it to the pawn shop one day.
Oh, he was a piece of work, I'll tell you.
Oh, my God. Some people,
certainly
man.
A piece of work. All right, speaking of a piece of work, how about this guy at DraftKings took home $1 million this past weekend? We mentioned on our Thursday show that DraftKings had another Millionaire Maker contest, and it was $100 to enter instead of the usual $27. But, Anthony, we knew that there weren't a lot of options in terms of the players you can use. So, typically, when we're looking at the Millionaire Maker contest during the regular season, the points for the winner were somewhere in the 230, 240. I believe someone had a 300-point week 1 week. The winner this week, only 209 fantasy points. So yeah. It wasn't a crazy, crazy day. Limited player pool, which we discussed. Now, this guy, talking about a piece of work here, he won $700,000 in week 17. He won a $500,000 in one tournament, and then a bunch of other tournaments. He took home, I don't know, $200,000 total. So he won $700,000 in week 17. 2 weeks later, he comes in first place in the Millionaire Maker Tournament, which is a record $1.7 million this guy won in 2 weeks playing fantasy football at DraftKings. He scored 209.74 points. The second place runner-up scored 204 points, so a five-point difference there between first and second. And he did have two Patriots on his team. Brandon LaFell and Rob Gronkowski both got him. LaFell got him 17 fantasy points thanks to his 60 yards, five receptions, and one touchdown. And then Gronk, not only did he get him the 100-yard bonus, he also had a touchdown to go along with seven catches. So the Patriots certainly helping out. Two-gun is what this guy's username is on DraftKings. Talk about LaFell and Gronkowski. Do you think they were the favorite Patriot players going into this weekend or going into last weekend?
Gronkowski, I think, had to be, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, like we said this on Thursday, tight end situation. It was Gronkowski, then Julius Thomas, and everybody else.
Right.
And Julius Thomas wasn't playing too well. So, Rob, either you're spending the money on Gronk or you're taking a chance hoping one of those lesser guys shows up and scores a touchdown or two. So, Gronkowski, I think, if you're putting a Patriot on your team last week, he had to be the first guy on your team as a New England Patriot.
Now, I filled out a roster. I actually went with Edelman over LaFell, which turned out better for me, but obviously I didn't win $1 million this weekend.
It's true. Yeah, you did
I also went with Tom Brady instead of Aaron Rodgers, but this winner had a nice combination here. He had Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, 26 points. Randall Cobb, 22 points for 116 yards. He also had that 100-yard bonus to go along with his eight catches. And then he had Davante Adams, who Todd spoke very highly of, as he mentioned before, during his combine and NFL draft process, saying that the Packers got an absolute steal, an absolute gem as their third wide receiver. Davante Adams, one catch, for a touchdown to go along with 117 yards. He got the 100-yard bonus, and he finished the day with seven grabs. So 27 points for the rookie out of Fresno State. He certainly had a career day. Now, I realize it's only his rookie year, but certainly the best performance of his young career.
Yeah, and at the best time he could do it, in the playoffs when you win or go home. So Davante Adams stepped up. He had a couple good games this year. And like Todd said, if someone like Randall Cobb doesn't come back to Green Bay, I think Davante Adams can slide into that number two role, and I don't think they miss a beat on the offense with someone of his caliber and his talent.
Now, here's where I think Tugun, the winner of the DraftKings Millionaire Maker Contest during the NFL Divisional Playoffs, here's where I think he made his money. He didn't go with the high-priced running backs of Eddie Lacy, Marshawn Lynch, DeMarco Murray.
Yep.
And I think that's what saved him. That's what allowed him to go with Gronk and Aaron Rodgers. Instead, he used Justin Forsett, one of the highest-scoring running backs of the week, 25 points. And he used Boom Heron, one rushing touchdown, 63 rushing yards, 32 receiving yards, and eight catches. Remember, it's a PPR league. So Boom Heron catches eight passes. He finished the day with 23.5 points, and that was more than Eddie Lacy and about the same as DeMarco Murray. So without having to spend a whole lot on one of those high-priced running backs, he still got the same amount of value for much less.
Yeah, and let's not forget to mention that he also was able to pick up the Seahawks defense, which I believe was the highest-rated defense for the week as well.
That was going to be my next point. His defense, all the other defenses this weekend really didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
Cam Chancellor had that pick six. They had two sacks, two interceptions, a defensive fumble recovery, and they didn't let up a lot of points. So they got 15 points for him, whereas all the other defenses, maybe a couple sacks, maybe a couple turnovers, but no special teams help, and certainly no turnovers for a touchdown.
Yeah, definitely. The Seahawks, like you said, are the only defense to make some noise this past weekend. So this guy just, you know, obviously put together the perfect lineup for the week. And like you said, getting Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Rodgers, and the Seahawks, I think he kind of probably threw those guys in there first and worked his way around it. It's hard to pass up someone like Marshawn Lynch or DeMarco Murray, at least one of them,
yeah.
If not both, if you can work them into your lineup. So you know, good for this guy not being afraid to go out there and just say, look, I'm going to take a chance and see what happens with Forsett and Heron. I mean, they both had good matchups. All the running backs really had decent matchups, but not using one of those stud running backs was definitely key, like you said.
Now, he also used a very, very cheap wide receiver, and I've been very transparent with this all season long. It certainly takes a lot of skill. Certainly takes a lot of knowledge. You certainly have to know what you're doing when compiling or when you're creating these lineups, but it also takes a tiny bit of luck.
Oh, boy,
did he get lucky with Jermaine Kearse from the Seattle Seahawks, who finished with one big monster touchdown.
Huge.
Over 100 yards, 129 receiving yards off of just three catches. So we got the 100-yard bonus, he got the receiving touchdown off of three catches, but he still ended up getting 24.9 fantasy points from Jermaine Kearse. That was incredible.
Yeah, that like you said, that's, I mean, 20. Every one of his players put up 20-plus points virtually, except for,
yep,
you know, his defense and Brandon LaFell, and they both scored over 15. So, he put together a great lineup, balanced everywhere. Everyone did their part, and not like he had one guy, Aaron Rodgers, score 50 and one of his guys score, you know, 5. Everyone just put together a perfectly balanced lineup, which was is amazing. Like you said, it is skill. You need to do your homework. You need to know what's going on. But at the same token, you need some luck on your side to win one of these, especially one of these big tournaments where you got 30,000 people playing against you for $1 million.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? We want to hear what was running through our producer Kevin Collins' head when the Pats were down by 14, not all once, but twice during their win over the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to recap the AFC and NFC divisional matchups. That's all coming up next right here on the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only. Participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The
the shots have rung out here in frigid Foxborough as the sun sets and darkness begins its descent on Gillette Stadium. Flacco pulls away, play fake, and a bootleg to the right. Fires out to the right side. Catch made by Kamar Aiken. And across the 10, Collard at the 5, but he fights into the end zone. And a touchdown for the former Patriot to give Baltimore the early lead.
You know, I thought the guys really hung in there, you know, down by 14 to start the game.
Brady got leveled again in the pocket.
This offensive line, it's time to grow a set. You're the number one seed. I don't know if it's Coach Cooch. It's got to take control on the sideline, but they got to get a set.
Black off the shotgun snap, throwing for Smith into the end zone. A bobbling, diving grab and a touchdown for Baltimore.
We're down 14-0. It's amazing.
Behind twice by 14 wasn't necessarily in the plans. Took a lot of good execution to overcome it.
Third and goal to go. Right hash mark of the 4. Tom drops back. Steps up. Brady's going to run. Brady is going to score. Touchdown, Patriots!
And he spikes it. We got life.
Second down and 10 from the 15. Ball on the right hash with trips to the left. Brady, quick throw. Left side. And Amendola makes the grab. Good left side of the tackle. Amendola to the 5. Diving to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots!
We got one. Here we go.
Can't say enough about him. Really works hard, tough, and he's had some big plays for us this year. He had some big ones today.
Tom throws down the middle, ball intercepted by Daryl Smith. Makes the catch inside the 45, and he's cooked down with a diving tackle by Amendola. Flacco swings it to the right flat for 4-7, an open throw to the end zone. Touchdown, Baltimore.
That could be a ball game right there, folks. That could be it.
Tom stands in. Tom's under pressure, and Tom goes down again. Sacked at the 34, and Darrell Suggs there for the Ravens.
Look at this.
At least some pushing and shoving that breaks out as Brady is shoved to the turf.
You know, I thought the guys really hung in there. Down about 14 in the third quarter. But, you know, we just battled back. They hung in there, and, you know, we made a couple, you know, big plays.
Play fake by Tom. In the pocket, steps up. Fires down the middle for Gronkowski. Catch made. Attack the 25.
Get up.
Dragging Melvin inside the 15.
What did I say? Feed him.
Brady takes the snap. Throws for Gronkowski. Catches made. Touchdown, Patriots.
Those guys got to study the rule book and, you know, figure it out. We obviously knew what we were doing.
Amendola along with Brock. Now Edelman motions out to the left. Quick throw for Julian, setting up a screen. He's going to look to throw downfield. Amendola wide open. Makes the catch at the 18 and stride. He's gone. Touchdown, Patriots.
The roof's off. Momentum is back at the Razor.
Josh called it at the perfect time. We actually got the perfect look. Star blitz right off of it. They bit up, you know, obviously to try to go tackle Jules, and Ganny slipped behind him, and Jules threw a dime.
Brady pointing out to Mike linebacker waiting on the snap. Late clock counting down. Tom has it. Pressure from his right. Throws to the left side for LaFell. Touchdown, Patriots! What a throw from Tom Brady to Brandon LaFell! And New England finally has the lead.
Guy looked like he had his right arm, you know, kind of on a board, and he caught it with his left, and it was a great play.
From the Patriot 36, a shotgun snap to Flacco, drops back against a four-man rush, throws down the left side, Torrey Smith got behind the defense, the ball's intercepted by Daron Harmon! Harmon makes the pick, coming over, and he has just clinched a trip to the AFC Championship!
We're coming back next week, and that's all I know! I don't need sleep! Who needs sleep? Losers need sleep, and you can take your 28 for 42 for 304 scores right back to Inner Harbor with you. We're going to the AFC Championship game, brother.
All right. Excellent job there by our producer, Kevin Collins, for that Patriots recap, 35-31 over the Baltimore Ravens. Kevin, what did we just hear there?
A little bit of everything.
I mean, who was it from?
That was Zolak, Scott Zolak, and Bob Socia on 98.5.
Great job by those guys calling the game.
Yeah, certainly colorful.
Yeah, always is. When it
and only losers need sleep, right, Bill?
That's correct. Man.
That's what I took away from it.
I'll get what I took away from it in just a second here. But, Kevin, how long did something like that take you to put together?
It was a while, like 3.5-4 hours.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
Yeah. It was long. I mean, there was so much to get to in that game, you know, and you also –
got to listen to it all and chop it.
You also want to sift through. And the thing that really I enjoy and that I think people get out of or get a lot out of is, you know, not only to listen to a play or to watch a play like in the highlights on TV, but then to hear like Brady or Bill talk about what went into the call of the play.
Yep.
You know, why did we decide to run this here? You know, Tom standing up there and saying, this is what I saw. You know, this is what we went to. This is why I liked the look for this play. I like that stuff. I can't get enough of that stuff.
What I took away from this was, that Tom Brady calls Julian Edelman Jules.
Yep, and he calls he calls Brandon LaFell JoJo.
And that's what I was going to say. So you got JoJo LaFell, you got Jules,
mm-hmm.
and then you got Gronk.
Yep.
What a mixture of
the
nicknames.
The Brady Bunch, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Jules, JoJo, Gronk.
I just love how I love how Gronk, like, you know, his name is now being used like as an adjective all over the place too. Like, you know, you've been
or
Gronked,
a verb.
Or yeah, whatever. It can be used at anything.
Yeah. Don't Gronk me,
pretty,
bro.
Pretty ridiculous. But no, like when you have a game that's 35-31 too, Bill, and there's turn, like I didn't even include some of the stuff that I could have put in there too, but I, you know, didn't want it to be 15 minutes long.
Right. This was the first game of the NFL divisional playoff round, and it certainly set the tone for the rest of the weekend, okay? The Ravens jumped out to a 14-0 score on the road. A lot of New England fans were, probably justifiably so, worried that the Ravens are the team that quote, has their number. When you're down by 14 at home, certainly it seems like an insurmountable task to come back. Not only do the Patriots come back, but then they trail by 14 once again in the second half, only to come back and obviously win the game 35-31. Anthony, I'll start with you here. When the Patriots were down 14-0, what are you saying to yourself as an NFL fan? Are you saying, okay, you know what, everything, I'm buying into the fact that Baltimore does in fact have New England's number, or are you saying to yourself, greatest coach, greatest quarterback, I'm not ruling them out yet?
When they go down 14-0 in the beginning of the game, the stadium just, it feels deflated, and rightly so. You're down 14-0. I mean, you got Tom Brady, you got Bill Belichick, so obviously you still feel like you're in the game. And I didn't think it was over at that point. If they're up 14 going into the fourth quarter, I look at it a little bit differently. But it's the beginning of the game. These guys, the Patriots, they've been in this before. They're in the playoffs every year. It's not like their first year. They're cool under pressure. So I didn't think that they didn't have a chance, but I really wasn't expecting them to necessarily win the game at that point. And then when they go down by 14 again, I was like, they're not coming back from this. And damn it, they proved me wrong. They play their asses off, and I love watching that game, man. Just like you said, that play, Edelman to Amendola, was just unreal. That's going to be one of the highlights from this NFL season.
Kevin, let's get your thoughts. Now, of course, you're on the sidelines. By the way, when I was watching the game, I pointed out to everyone that I was with that you were controlling those pregame fireworks, all the pyrotechnics. I said, oh, that's my man Kevin. He did that.
Oh, yeah, pressing the button. Itchy,
yeah,
trigger,
sure.
Finger.
So yes, please take us down onto the sidelines. What was the coaching staff like? What were the players doing? How did their body language change when they were down 14-0 midway through the first quarter?
To be honest, Bill, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, changing of body language or panic that I sensed. I mean, I was internally panicked. I'm with Ann. When it was 14-0, you know, my eyebrow was raised, but I certainly didn't rule them out. And I still thought they were going to ultimately come back and win the game just because there was so much football left. And I thought, you know, there's an element to rust to this start, because the Buffalo game, most guys didn't play. And if they played, it was only a couple series.
Right.
So they really had 3 weeks off, you know,
yeah.
Which is a long time. I mean, it's not just like you have the bye week during the regular season. These guys had almost a month without, like, really competitive snaps, that
started
meaningful
off a little
snaps.
Rusty.
So I kind of expected a little bit of a slow start. 14-0, not quite that bad. But that drive when they, you know, cut into it to make it 14-7, you're like, okay, like, let's get it rolling. What really surprised me and what really worried me and sent me into kind of, like, internal turmoil, Bill, was they climb up the mountain and they get back to square one at 14-14. And Brady has the ball on a two-minute drill, you know, right before halftime, and you're thinking, okay, at worst, they're going to go in probably up 17-14, and they get the ball coming out.
Right.
And if they can, you know, somehow hang two touchdowns, one before half and one after, I think it's good night. If they even come away with a field goal before halftime, a touchdown coming out, I still think it's good night. And so many times in the past, Brady's been so good at that, kind of like sticking the nail in the coffin, that score before the half and the score coming out of the half.
Yes.
And it just got completely reversed. Like, you know, Baltimore, you know, picks him off, goes in, scores a touchdown of their own. The Patriots come out of the locker room ice cold, three and out, punt. Baltimore goes down and sticks another seven on them. So instead of the Patriots being up 10 to 14 points, kind of like, you know, a quarter of the way through the third quarter, which is kind of what I was expecting, all of a sudden you're down 14 with like a quarter and a half left in your season.
Right.
And that's a pretty terrifying, you know, thing to face. And I remember sitting there coming out of the TV timeout at 28-14 and looking at Brady right in front of me at the 20-yard, his own 20-yard line, and they're kind of in the huddle waiting for NBC to come back.
Yeah.
And he was just very calm, and he was, you know, you could see his head turning left to right and right to left and kind of looking all his guys in, you know, in their face, being like, I could only guess as to what he's saying because I wasn't in the huddle, but, you know, kind of, I would assume being like, all right, let's not panic here. There's tons of time. There's tons of football. You know, we just need to get seven. You know, let's get seven on this drive and go from there. And they came out, and that's that drive, Bill, that we were talking about in the open of the show that culminated in the Gronk score.
Yeah.
Where they really moved the ball. I think they went 80 yards in like 3.5 minutes, and there was little to no resistance. And that's when, you know, the substitution stuff started to happen and too many men on the field and Harbaugh's penalty for flipping out, and you started to see the Ravens kind of crack a little. And that, you know, after they got it to 28-21, at the start of that drive, Bill, when he was in the huddle coming out of that TV timeout, I was like, if they don't score here, if they don't go get seven, it's over. You know, I honest to God felt that way. But then with how quickly the tide turned, Bill, like you said, they scored, I think, twice in 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes.
Yep.
And boom, you're back to square one again. But that's the beauty of the Patriot offense and how many weapons they have. And knock on wood, the fact that they're all healthy, they can score points in a hurry.
I want to take it back to the first half, Kevin, when you said that instead of the Brady and the Patriots being the ones who typically, you know, have the ball under 2 minutes and are able to go down the field and score. This time it was the opposite, as you pointed out. This time it was Joe Flacco connecting with Owen Daniels for an 11-yard touchdown.
Yep.
But what set that up was a defensive pass interference play by Darrell Revis on Steve Smith.
Correct,
that
correct.
I don't think should have been called.
I didn't like it either, Bill, for the record. And I know I'm a homer and a honk, but I didn't like it either. I thought now, there was just a lot of hand fighting by both guys.
I that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And, Kevin, I know you were at the game, so maybe you didn't see this. But I think it was in the second half, they showed a stat that Revis is one of the least penalized players in the entire league.
Yeah, Bill, he actually that was his first PI of the entire year.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So for them to call it on that, they haven't called it on him all season long, and the timing of that play, you know, a lot
deflating,
of people are mad at the refs over what happened with Dez Bryant. And I think their anger is misguided or aimed at the wrong people. The Cowboys should be angry at the rule.
Yes,
I agree.
Of the actual catch.
It's a crappy
we'll get
rule.
Into that later.
Horrible
it's a crappy
rule.
Rule. Not the refs' fault. The refs have to follow the rules.
Yeah, and good on Coach McCarthy for, you know, I saw on Twitter, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back in here doing the show, and I'm looking on Twitter.
Yep.
And it's like all these, you know, national talking heads being like, why would he waste a challenge on this? This is stupid, blah, 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 blah. And they were all eating crow 2.5 minutes later when the game's essentially over now. You know, the ball gets turned over on downs.
So you can't get mad at the refs for following the rules, but you certainly can get mad at the refs when they made a call like this on Revis, which
is all judgment.
It's such a judgment call.
Yeah.
And sometimes their judgment. You'll never hear Coach Belichick say this. You'll never hear a player say this. But sometimes the referee's judgment sucks. And I think on that play it did.
Yeah, no,
you might hear him say
ridiculous. I'm with you. I thought that was two guys, Bill, that, you know, are going after the ball in a playoff game, in a tie game. And I don't think Darrell Revis did anything to prevent Steve Smith from catching that ball. And
now,
I think Steve Smith almost, like, was reaching out toward Darrell Revis, trying to, like, latch onto him to try to draw contact.
You won't hear much about this play because the Patriots ended up winning, and the timing of the play was right before the end of the first half. But if that play was for the game in the fourth quarter, that would have been the most controversial call of the weekend. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, it was bad.
Luckily, that didn't have to be the case. And I'm almost happy that there was no controversy about this game like there was with Dez Bryant and in that catch. The Patriots just came back from down 14 twice.
Yeah, you don't see that. You don't see that every day. You know, I mean, a team that goes in that big of a hole twice, not once, but twice, and then the second time being kind of later in the game, it's difficult. You know, you might see a team that goes down 14-0, then maybe scores a touchdown, then goes down 21-7 in the first half, but then rips it off. But to go down 14 a second time, like, you know, midway through the third quarter or whatever it was, I mean, that's not an enviable position by any stretch.
Now, the entire game, I'm thinking when they're down 14, one is...
Ant's right with his pick. That's what I was thinking. I was like that sandbagging SOB.
Two is after our radio show on last Thursday, you said, oh, should I be worried that Bill has a good feeling that we'll be back? So that's all I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh, my God, did I just jinx them?
Yeah.
And two, I'm saying, oh, man, we're not going to be back next week if they lose. They have to win this game. We have to be back next week. So, you know, listen, no one else out there is going to think of me. I got to think of myself. I wanted to be back on the radio, damn it.
Yeah,
and I'm happy that we are.
That's a good motto to live your life by, Bill. I find it very, very useful. You know, nobody's going to take care of you or promote you like you. So you just got to do you.
You're damn right. So, yeah, you're damn right I wanted the Patriots to win. I wanted to be back on the radio. And I was really upset when they were losing. I was like, oh, man, the show's going to be over.
Yeah, you can just imagine me in cardiac arrest down in the corner of the end zone in the fetal position.
You're rooting for
and
your team.
I'm trying to keep my head into it and focus and do my job. And meanwhile, my brain just wants to, like, I just wanted to take my ball and go home and, like, hug my mom. That's all. I just wanted my mommy to tell me that I was special.
So the Patriots advance to the AFC Championship. They will host the winner. They will host the Indianapolis Colts, and that's because Indy beat Denver in Denver 24-13. And guys, in my opinion, this was probably the is boringest a word?
I don't think
so. It is not, no.
How about Anthony? It is not a word.
I'm not even an English person, and I know it's not a word, but that's
boring.
Okay.
It was the most boring. How's that?
Boring. Yeah,
it was the most boring game of the weekend. That's my vote.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, I know it was more of a blowout in Seattle, but at least we saw some offense, some exciting plays, long interception return, a couple things like that. But you're totally right. This game was not the offensive juggernaut situation we were looking forward to. That's for sure. But I'm not shocked the Colts won, and I think this leaves a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of controversy and a lot to talk about the Denver Broncos heading into next year. That's for sure.
It really does, especially now with their head coaching vacancy and what Peyton Manning's going to do. Toss the fact that the reports are that he was dealing with a torn quad. I don't care about that. He was 26 of 46 for 211 yards and one touchdown. Demaryius Thomas had 12 targets but only caught 5 passes. Emmanuel Sanders had 15 targets, only caught 7 passes. And if you were watching this game, it seemed like Peyton was overthrowing everybody. If Demaryius Thomas wasn't dropping the ball, then Peyton Manning was overthrowing Emmanuel Sanders. And they kept going deep a lot this game. Didn't understand why. It seems like they got away from their game plan early on. C.J. Anderson was running well, 18 carries for 80 yards. I think they abandoned the run game too early. They didn't capitalize off Andrew Luck's turnovers. He had 2 interceptions, which is what the Patriots are going to have a field day with in the AFC Championship. Because Andrew Luck, as great as he is in just his third season, he still makes a lot of dumb decisions that luckily did not come back to haunt him in this game versus the Broncos, but they will versus the Patriots. Andrew Luck finished 43 attempts, 27 completions, 265 yards, 2 touchdowns with 2 picks. Boom Heron, we mentioned him earlier in the show. He had a good game, 63 yards and a touchdown. And T.Y. Hilton led the team with 72 yards. And Dan Heron led the team with 8 receptions. By the way, Trent Richardson, not even active for this game. He was a healthy scratch. What a fall from grace for Trent Richardson. T-Rich.
T-Rich,
no
he's out.
Even active.
Yeah. Now you're hanging out with Zerlon Tipton.
You're a loser.
He certainly is.
I guess so, man. That's wild, man. I don't even know what to say about that. Like we said, every time we bring up his name, you talk about the year he had that rookie year in Cleveland, looked great. they trade him away, get a first-round pick, and then Cleveland looks like geniuses because he has not done a damn thing since he went to Indianapolis almost 2 years ago.
He was not the only Colts not to show up on the stats sheet. Reggie Wayne was active, and although he did have one target, he had no catches. So a big goose egg from Reggie Wayne. Now, I understand he's a good blocker, and he does some things on offense that go beyond stats. But right. The point is, this guy's a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, and he's not even catching a pass.
Yeah, and again, that's another thing that kind of points to, do we see Reggie Wayne come back next year? I don't know. And the Colts showed enough this year that they can get it done without him. So even if he retires, it's not like they'll be losing a crucial piece.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, not only with the Broncos in terms of if Peyton Manning doesn't come back next year, what happens in terms of what they do at the quarterback position? Because they have Brock Osweiler, which is like the tallest quarterback in history. I think
it's like 7'8" or something. Yeah, he's ridiculous.
At Arizona State, but it'll be interesting to see if Peyton does retire. Will the Broncos try to draft a quarterback this year? That'll be interesting. Because remember, Teddy Bridgewater was this year's consensus number one quarterback, and he ended up going third. Bortles and Johnny Manziel all went before him. The Vikings got Bridgewater with the 29th pick, which is around what the Broncos will have this year. So it'll be interesting to see how it affects if Peyton Manning, he has to make his decision soon. Because this scouting department for the Broncos, they'll need to start looking at quarterbacks, I'm guessing. I don't know if they want to just hand the reins over to Osweiler.
You can't. When you have a guy like Peyton Manning retiring, you can't just say, oh, well, this guy was his backup. He's going to be all right for now. You don't know. You don't know a lot of what you have with Osweiler. And maybe you get a guy in the first round of the draft this year. Maybe you wait. Like you said, it'll be interesting. It all depends, I guess, on who their coach comes, who their new coach is coming in, what his philosophy is, his mindset, what he wants to do. Not a lot of free agent quarterbacks, so it's going to be very interesting if someone like Peyton Manning, a stud, one of the best of all time, retires and you got to replace him. That's not good for Denver Bronco fans, that's for sure.
And Reggie Wayne, of course, the Colts do have some younger options at the wide receiver position, specifically Dante Moncrief, who's been coming on strong with them. All right, so Colts and the Patriots in the AFC Championship. That game will be this Sunday, January 18th, 6:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be on CBS. That means we'll get Jim Nance and Phil Sims on that one. Colts and Pats have played each other each of the last few years. They played each other last year in the playoffs. Patriots just really took Andrew Luck to school here. 43-22 was the result in that game, and Luck had a really bad game in terms of turnovers. The Patriots, it seems like they have Andrew Luck's number. He had four picks in that game last year in the playoffs. And then, of course, they played this past regular season as well. I forget what week it was, though. I'm trying to think back to what week they played each other. November
16th. 6-7?
November 16th.
All right, that was, more towards the middle, maybe 10.
Yeah. But anyway, the Pats won 42-20. So back-to-back years, they won by, 20-plus points when taking on the Colts and Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in Indianapolis going into Foxborough and pulling off the upset. Now their offensive line played great last game. Their defense has been playing great in the playoffs. Andrew Luck, once Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees are out of the game, you got Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck, and I'm not sure how many other elite quarterbacks are in the league. Maybe Russell Wilson if he gets another championship this year or next year, but not a lot of elite quarterbacks are going to be left like these guys, and Andrew Luck is the guy that everyone's going to look to, so he's going to win a Super Bowl at some point. It just has to happen. He's that kind of talent. Maybe it's not going to be this year, but beating the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, at home, on the cusp of getting to a Super Bowl, I just can't see them doing it.
Andrew Luck, that first game around, it was in week, what did I have here? It was a game that Jonas Gray had that monster game.
Yeah, the four touchdowns really of 200. Yeah.
It was in week 11.
Okay, yeah.
42-20. Andrew Luck had one pick in that game. Tom Brady had actually two interceptions, but the big day, the big performer from that game was, of course, Jonas Gray. 200 yards, four touchdowns for the former Notre Dame player. Gray, I think he's maybe been active once or twice since that big game.
Yeah, he's not doing anything. So good call on having under eight touchdowns by you, my friend. Because was that debate less than
yes.
over under eight touchdowns?
Yes,
so
I remember that. Yes,
that's all you, man. I picked the wrong one there.
Now, on the flip side of things, the Colts, on the other hand, other than Andrew Luck scrambling for 15 yards, they had a total of four rushing yards in this game. Ahmad Bradshaw, seven attempts, four rushing yards back in week 11 when the Pats beat the Colts. I think it was on Sunday Night Football. Kobe Fleener had a big game, seven grabs, 144 yards. Reggie Wayne, five catches, 91 yards. But it really was the Jonas Gray show. 37 attempts, 200 yards, four touchdowns. Rob Gronkowski had four catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. But the Colts just came out looking like that they handed their playbook to the Patriots before the game, because that's how dominant the Pats defense was against Indy that week.
God, I don't even – if there's a word stronger than domination, I'd use it right there. They really did just come out swinging, and they just have the Indianapolis Colts number. Since 1996, the Colts are 7-20 all time against the New England Patriots, no matter where they're playing, and only one of those wins they've won by more than a touchdown. So even if New England loses, they're going to keep it to a close game, and they're not going to. It's not going to happen.
Now, strictly as a NFL fan, as a fan of football, not as a Patriots fan, Kevin, as a fan of football, did you want to see Brady versus Peyton, Pats versus Broncos, or did you want to see Brady versus Luck, Pats versus Colts?
Oh, I wanted to see Brady Manning.
Of
no
course.
Doubt. I mean, you'd be high not to want to see that again.
Anthony, you agree with that, right?
I'd rather see Andrew Luck, to be honest with you. I like
you
Peyton.
High? Kevin Collins just said you had to be high to consider Luck versus Brady instead of Peyton versus Brady. And here you go with Luck.
Just the way Peyton was playing at the end of this year, he doesn't beat the Patriots to begin with. Obviously, neither does Andrew Luck, but Luck's played him twice, three times in his career, so he's had a lot less of a sample size.
I think the Patriots have beat, in those three times, the Patriots' margin of victory is, like, on average 26 points.
Yeah, it's over 20 the last time.
Even if Peyton sucks, Ant, which he might at this stage, and if he's injured and all that good stuff, just for nostalgic purposes,
that's what
you
I
know, that, you know, potentially one more last hurrah
yep.
matchup between the two greatest quarterbacks of this generation.
I see that angle of it, but let's say Peyton wins this game and he's going to Foxborough and they get drubbed 55-3. It just gives you a different sense of Manning versus Brady if that's the last time you see them play. He's not the same guy.
Well, if you put it that way, the last time you saw him play was when Peyton was beating Brady.
Yeah, he did, but again, it wasn't a game that was so out of hand that you say, oh man, this is, you know, embarrassing for the New England Patriots and
right.
Tom Brady.
Right.
If Denver goes in to Foxborough,
yeah, I mean,
man.
They got beat up pretty good earlier this year here, and I mean, I think the Patriots, if Peyton played the way he did against the Colts, it could. Maybe not 55-3, but it could have been easily, you know, pretty out of hand, pretty quick.
A better offense, a better coach, a better defense, and on the road. So all those factors just point to Peyton Manning having a worse day than he did against the Colts. So that's the only reason. I mean, again, if they played each other, great. Then everyone's watching the game. Everyone's talking about Peyton Manning, Tom Brady Bowl 19, or whatever the hell it would have been.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? It's something different now. If it's Manning, Brady, all you hear about on the news and sports for the entire week is the same things you hear over and over and over again the last, you know, 12, 14 years.
All right, so that's our recap of the AFC divisional matchups. Again, Patriots and the Colts will play in the AFC Championship this weekend. Of course, the winner goes to Arizona to play in Super Bowl 49. What do you say we take a quick break? When we get back, we'll recap the NFC divisional action, which, of course, will set up our NFC championship preview. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, Pastrami.
Pastrami!
Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop. Your team. Your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs. Final segment of our AFC and NFC divisional recap show. Of course, on Thursday, we will be previewing the AFC and NFC championship games. So you'll certainly want to listen to us, whether it's live on Patriots.com or on demand via the mobile app, Patriot mobile app, or on iTunes. We'll be live Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We didn't get into our recap of the top fantasy scorers for the most part. We are having that listener league for on FantasyPostseason.com, which, Anthony, I don't know about you, but I'm not doing very good in.
I think I'm somewhere in the mid 30s right now.
I'm
all right, I guess. Wow. Yeah, it's you know, luck of the draw. Some of these teams, I think a lot of people out there had a lot of players from Seattle, Green Bay, and New England. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see who makes it to the Super Bowl and who really helps out. I was looking at some of the names on the top, and a couple, at least one of those guys has a bunch of Indianapolis Colts, which I thought was interesting. So if for some reason they go in there and pull the upset, someone like that who's got a bunch of Colts players is going to run away with this thing out of nowhere.
I think that's actually my friend.
Is it?
He has Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, bunch of Colts.
Yeah, you know, basically, he thought he was going. They were going to the Super Bowl, so
he's in
hey,
seventh place. Yeah,
good call by him, man. Definitely.
So speaking of some fantasy, let's go to the phone lines where Ken in Buffalo is in a salary cap league. Hello, Ken.
Yes, hi. How are you?
What do you think about the Rex Ryan hire, Ken?
I'm excited about it. We got a coach that's legitimate. We've never really had a good coach here, even though he didn't have a good record. Overall, he did take a team that had basically a mediocre, at best, quarterback to the championship game two straight years in a row, I believe.
That's true. Are you saying that you think E.J. Manuel is mediocre at best, or is he really even below that line?
I'm not too impressed with him. I think they're going to have to look for another quarterback. There's no question about that.
Yeah, that's crazy. So not only will you have to look for another quarterback after drafting Manuel in the first round, just 2 years ago, but you're also paying your former head coach $5 million this year, so that's never a good thing.
Not good, and they wasted a first-round pick last year by moving up and losing on a better player other than the ones they got.
Yep.
Watkins, which I thought he was good, but he was just as good as some of the other receivers that are out there.
Certainly was. So, Ken, what's your question today?
Well, I'm in a salary-capped league, and I've been lucky enough to make it to the playoffs, and I'm doing fairly well right now. And this is the last week that we can set our lineups. So whatever I pick this week, I'm going to have to use next week. So I was wondering, what strategy should I use? Should I concentrate on players from the two teams that I think are going to be going to the Super Bowl, or should I just take the best players out there that I can get that will fill my cap?
Good question. And I think in order to give our best advice, we kind of have to know what your scoring system is and how it's scored. Is it cumulative? Do
yes,
you have a big lead? How many players are you playing against? Give us some background here.
I think I'm playing against 20,000 people.
Whoa, okay.
Overall. And in the individual league I'm in, there's 32 teams. But
okay.
In the country, there's, I think, 20,000 people.
Now, are you anywhere in the running of getting first place out of the 32 teams that are in your division, let's say?
Yeah, I'm in first place there.
Okay.
And I'm in second place in the nation.
What? Second place out of 20,000 people?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's
awesome. Where is this league? Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Where is this league being ran from?
It's
CBS,
head
ESPN? Oh, Head to Head Sports?
Head to Head Sports, right.
Yeah, they do a great job over there. What kind of prizes are we talking about here?
$25,000.
For second place?
Well, no, if I get first place, I'm 14 points behind the person in first place right now.
All right, so suddenly the...
Now we got some pressure on our hands, Bill.
We're cooking
with grease.
That's what I call burying the lead, my man. You got to start off the call with that. Hey guys, I'm paying for $25,000. Help me out here. All right, so I guess since you already have a lead, you want to hold on to that lead. I don't think you want to risk having players that are not in the Super Bowl.
Right.
In other words, I'm going to make my pick on Thursday, but let's just for sake of argument, and I'm going to pick the Patriots.
I think you
load up on the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Seahawks, Packers. I do think the Seahawks win, but I picked the Packers since earlier in the year. I'm going to probably pick the Packers this week. I think you should stay with a mix of Packers and Seahawks. This way you're almost hedging your bet a little bit. If you want to go for it all, then by all means, go with one of the teams that you think are going to win the NFC. But if you want to play it a little safe, then I think it is a little bit risky to go with all Packers, all Patriots, or all Seahawks, all Patriots. Anthony, where do you weigh in?
You're taking a huge gamble. Obviously, people that are behind you are going to have to go a little heavier on guys like, you know, from the Colts, because they need a miracle to happen for them to jump up there. So
right.
You're in a nice position knowing that all you got to do is pretty much get the Super Bowl winners. Now, that being said, in New England, I feel like Bill said, more confident in that team. I load up on as many Patriot players as I can and see what you got left. I think Seattle is probably the way to go, but I think you might be best served kind of splitting Packers and Seattle players, because it is a salary cap league, so you might not be able to go straight New England and straight Seattle or Green Bay.
All right. What do you think about the Pats defense versus Seattle's defense?
I love the Pats defense this weekend because they're playing against Andrew Luck, and I think he's going to have a lot of interceptions, and I think the Pats are going to force a lot of turnovers. So I do like the Pats this weekend. Do I like them next weekend if they play the Packers or Seattle? No, but I don't really like Seattle or Green Bay's defense against New England either. So out of the two that you're considering, I like the matchup this weekend for the Pats. Don't really like it for Seattle. And then next weekend, I think, or the Super Bowl week, I think is a wash. So I'd go with the Patriots.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That was my idea, was to load up on the Pats. I've been riding Heron for Indianapolis for, he's done great for me up until this point. It's going to be hard for me to let go of him. Because he's such a high scorer and he's so dependable.
Right.
He's very consistent, but I think I may have to forego him and, pick up either Vereen or Blunt, one of those two.
I don't know. The New England Patriots running back situation, we say this all year, very sketchy. You don't know what you're getting out of it. And if they get to the Super Bowl and they play Seattle, I don't care who the running back is. They're not going to make much noise in that running game anyway. So
that's a good point.
Someone like Dan Heron could be a good play this week. We saw what Justin Forsett did last week to the Patriots. Boom is another guy can catch the ball in the backfield, as we've been seeing, putting up 20 points consistently in PPR-type formats in the playoffs. So,
But now here's what you're asking. Well, Boom Heron's one game do better than someone that may play in two games.
Like a Shane Vereen or something right. like that. Which I think it might.
I think it would.
100% honesty, yeah. I think Boone would have a better chance to outscore Shane Vereen or Jonas Gray, who have you, in one game than those guys will put up combined against Indianapolis and or Seattle if they get the Super Bowl.
Or you play your cards, you hedge your bet a little bit and pick Lynch and Lacy.
Yeah, there you go.
Like you know you're getting a running back in, and you know you're getting a quality running back, to say the least.
Yeah, I think you've got to sprinkle in at least a Packer or two, even if you think Seattle's going to win, just to be safe. Maybe you go 3-2 as three Seattle players, two Green Bay players. You got to sprinkle one or two Packers in. If they get in the Super Bowl, they're going to put up points. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
are we confusing you, or are we helping you, Ken?
No, I think you're pretty much. I feel better about what I'm going to be doing, and
okay.
I basically concentrate on New England. I think that's the team. Seattle and Green Bay, I'm going to mix up. I'm only going to play one player from Indianapolis. I think that's probably Heron. Although I'm sure the T.Y. Hilton will have a good day too. Luck's going to be throwing the ball all over the place. But you have two people on a team that you know is going to lose that won't be there next week.
Right.
The week
that's,
after. That's
tough.
The thing that bothers me. So.
Ken, are you a loyal Fantasy Football Champs member or a loyal Patriots.com listener or maybe both?
I'm FF Champs. I've been using them for the past few years, and I've won something every year.
That's awesome.
That's awesome to hear.
I don't use them as I use them as a guide to help me. I mean, I have my own pick. I see how they're doing on the cheat sheets, and I like it. I've had great success using them almost exclusively.
We love to hear that. And Ken, if you don't mind, actually, I'd love to get your testimonial because I need a testimonial for someone in a postseason or NFL playoff fantasy league. We get plenty of them for the regular season. So if you end up doing well, please send us an email and just tell us a little bit about your story and tell us how you did.
I definitely will. If I end up in the top where I am right now, 1-2, I'd be very happy.
All right, thanks, Ken. We certainly appreciate that.
Good
Best
luck,
of luck
Ken.
To you. And listen, if you have trouble sleeping on it, we'll be back live on Thursday.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Good Take luck, care. Man.
That was Ken from Buffalo playing for $25,000 over at Head to Head Sports.
Two out of 20,000, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, a couple things on that. One, we were supposed to come back from break with our NFC Championship or NFC Divisional Recap. We're not going to get to that, obviously, because, hey, well, we had to spend some time with Ken there. Long and short of it is, Cowboy fans think they got screwed. Packers are advancing to the NFC Championship to play against the Seattle Seahawks, where they lost in Week 1. The Seattle Seahawks reminded us why they have one of the best defenses in the league, totally turned the Carolina Panthers into the Carolina Pussycats in that game with a phenomenal defensive performance from their entire unit there, plus Russell Wilson continues his hot streak and is playing great football at the quarterback position. So we'll see the Packers and the Seahawks kick off at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. I believe that game is on Fox. Now, back to our caller, Ken, here. A couple things about him, Anthony. One, very cool that he's playing in the NFL playoffs because I do like to hear from people that are competing in these postseason games. Now, when he called in, he talked about a salary cap league. I just thought he was playing with his friends some of his coworkers. Turns out, playing with 20,000 other people. Not only that, when I asked him, all right, out of the 32 people in your division, what place you're in? He's like, oh, I'm in first. I was like, oh, that's great. And then he's like, and second out of the 20,000 people.
Just
talk
snuck
about
that
things.
In there out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't notice.
Yeah, and man, second. How about it?
What?
That's crazy.
My God. Ken's awesome. It's a predicament when you're playing in a league like this. You got to predict who's going to the Super Bowl, and I know the AFC. We both think it's going to be New England, and it's not really going to be much of a contest at that point. But that NFC matchup is going to be very interesting. I think today, if you ask me today, I'd say Seattle. But if Green Bay goes in there and wins that game, can we be 100% shocked? I don't think we can. They're looking for revenge. They lost there earlier in the year. They know how Seattle plays. They've been there the past couple of years in Seattle. So if one team can come in there and not be rattled and be ready for it, I think Green Bay is that team. If Aaron Rodgers is 100% healthy, I feel a lot more confident saying Green Bay makes more of a game out of it. But look, he looked good against the Cowboys playing on a leg and a half. So,
Kevin, as a Patriot fan, do you want to see the Seattle Seahawks lose? Not because you don't want to play them, but more because you want to be the last team to have a repeat as Super Bowl champions?
To be honest, I really don't care about that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care about it.
Oh, see, I think that has big time bragging rights.
Yeah, no, I guess it does. I just want. It's be careful what you wish for, Bill. You know, at this stage, all the teams that are left are good. I think Seattle. You can definitely make the argument that Seattle's definitely the scarier of the two teams to play. But I'm just kind of focused on what gives the Patriots the best chance to win this year. You know, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago, Bill. With, you know, who do you want to play in the first game, like that type of thing. And some people were like, oh, we don't want to play, you know, if the Bengals fell to us or the Colts at that time. You know, a lot of people wanted them, including me. And then other people were like, no, we want to play Baltimore. We want to play one of these better teams to prove that we're like battle tested, schmested. You know, you go through this whole year and the Patriots had a very tough schedule. They had like a stretch of six games that were just awful. And they went through and they aced the test, you know. And when you get to this point, you just want to be as healthy and rested as you can be, you know. And so now it's, I don't know, Bill. It's like a flip of a coin. I feel like the Patriots played Green Bay pretty tough up there. They lost by 5 points and had a chance, you know, a chance with the ball inside the Green Bay 25 and a chance to win, you know, with 3 minutes left or so. So I'm definitely not terrified of Green Bay. I have a lot of respect for them, but I don't think the Patriots, like, can't win. But with that said, I just feel like Seattle's relatively healthy. They've come on so strong, and their defense has certainly kind of reverted back to what we all thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it really has.
And I think just their demeanor, I guess, is the word, Bill. Like, just sort of the way they carry themselves and the attitude and the swag they play with.
They got that swagger.
Once they get rolling, you know, that's a tough team to try to score points on. And I also think it's dangerous, too, where you saw what Forsett and these backs did on Saturday to the Pats, like, you know, I think Seattle's recipe of good hard-nosed defense and physical, and then also using a back
much better
caliber
rushing attack.
Marshawn Lynch, a guy with that caliber of skill, I think they could really kind of control the pace and tempo of the game and take that whole aspect out of the Patriots' repertoire.
Very interesting.
I think I think they're really a tough, you know, it's tough to say I want to play Green Bay or I want to play Seattle because they're both really, really good, you know.
But in terms of Seattle repeating, you could care less.
Yeah, I really could. Yeah.
Oh.
I'll tell you this. I'd like Green Bay to win. I like the storylines of, you know, kind of the rematch from the regular season. I have a lot of respect for Green Bay as a franchise, Bill. Like, I like the whole history of the team and the fact that it's a close-knit community and literally everyone from that town goes to the games. You know, the Lombardi history there, kind of like considered, you know, the birthplace or the Mecca. It's like Wrigley Field up there, you know, or Fenway Park. I have a lot of respect for those fans in that town. And to be honest, I like a lot of their players, Bill. You know, I have no ill – whereas Seattle, like, I don't know. I don't really like Seattle. I don't care for their act. I don't like their shtick. And so if you're gonna lose to somebody potentially, I'd much rather lose to Green Bay and see them win than see Seattle win.
Right.
That's just my thing.
Okay.
So that's why I'd kind of like to play Green Bay, you know?
Well, listen, we'll get into our full AFC and NFC Championship preview on our Thursday show. We'll be live on these airwaves 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I mean,
what do you say we wrap up today's show, Anthony Grace or Kevin Collins?
One more thing on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thing, just as my last thing, I went to the game. It was the 2012 season. We played up there in the rain. And
up where? Where are we talking about?
In Seattle. The last time we were there. The last time we played them.
That was the Richard Sherman Tom Brady.
Yeah, and it was a great game that came down to the last possession, and Russell Wilson made a great play, and Tavon Wilson, the Patriots rookie safety, just got lost. And I think he hit Sidney Rice for like a 40-yard game-winning touchdown with a minute left or so, right?
Yep.
So it was a great game. I think they won by a point, 2 points, real tight. The way that they sort of carried them, like I'm down on the field, mind you. The way they carried themselves on the field after, and it was not just the players. It was coaches, staff, security, the TSA people, for Christ's sakes, getting us on the bus to go get on plane. I hated it, you know? And so if we play them, I don't know. I'd like to kind of – the more I think about it, I'd like to stick it to them and beat them, but I also would hate to see them win. But I just I don't care for their act. I don't like their act out there.
There are certainly different ways to win, and I think that when Seattle wins, it's going to be in your face, cocky, we just beat your butt.
But I don't need the TSA agent asking me like what the score was and stuff like that. You know, I don't
well,
need
that's
that.
Just being
I don't need that. Get, you know, wan me and let me go on my bus and get on the plane.
If you're a TSA agent from the beginning, aren't you already starting off with I don't really like the TSA agent? Whether or not Seattle won that game or not.
Yeah.
I mean, if your chosen profession in this world is to be a TSA agent and to annoy people when they're trying to head on vacation.
Yeah, but you also respect that they're trying to protect you and stuff like that.
Are they, though? Are they?
Yeah. Thank you,
are
Bill.
They?
Thank you.
I don't know. But anyway.
It was just
like the whole attitude of, like, I didn't like the players, the coaches, you know, basically from top to bottom, that whole. The only thing I loved was the area. Like, the area is beautiful.
But see, I like the swag the Seahawks bring to the table, but that's just because
I don't. I didn't care for a lot of it. So
okay, that's fine.
If we got a chance to exact some revenge, that'd be great. But I think I'd rather play the Packers.
Anthony Grace, final words for today.
The one thing I think that got lost in this Carolina-Seattle game from a fantasy perspective is Kelvin Benjamin.
Great
seven
game.
Catches, 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. Guy is a beast. I think he's going to be a superstar in this league, going to be good next year in the fantasy world. So against the best passing defense in the league, he went off. I love what I saw out of him.
He also had a good game against them in the regular season. I was surprised not to see him in more of the winning DraftKings lineups this weekend.
Yeah.
Because, he had a great game.
So a little fantasy perspective on the weekend real quick.
All right. So Packers, Seahawks, Patriots, Colts, that's coming up. This weekend, AFC NFC Championship, we'll break it all down on our Thursday show. Want to thank everyone for listening. Want to thank our special guest today, Todd DeVries. Kevin Collins, as always, did a great job
with
the production
of
this radio program. My co-host, Anthony Grace, thanks for listening. Have fun and be safe.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.